Today's message is called Matovu. How lovely. It's based on the parashat. It's based on the Torah reading for today, which is Balak, which begins in Numbers 22. In Parashat Balak, when the king of Moab, this is a little summary so that we get there. When they saw the huge host of Israelites coming out of the wilderness, he tried to hire a prophet named Balaam to curse them. When Balaam first asked permission to go curse Israel, Adonai forbade him. Okay? As a commentary here, when the Lord gives an answer, is he going to change his mind? Or is the scripture, I am the Lord, I am Adonai, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's in Malachi 3. So is that not in effect at all times with him? He knows the future and the present, the past. Everything is before him on a continual basis. But what do we humans do? However, when King Balak sent a more impressive delegation, so he sent people, he didn't go himself, he sent a delegation. They showed up with goodies, gold, silver, stuff. When you look at somebody shows up with, 100 pounds of gold, for example, and to get you to do something, and the money's yours if you do it. Tough, huh? Because we can set our eyes on the things that the apostle said, which is in the world. What's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And no one's exempt. No one is exempt. Balaam again went to ask Adonai. So right away, should be some kind of a red asterisk or a red flag that goes up. Okay? So is the Lord going to change his mind? If he could go, so I want to ask you, as a behind the scenes, does Adonai change his mind? As we read, it says, Adonai gave Balaam the desire of his heart. But the scripture says in Psalm 106:15 that the Lord can give us the desire of our heart, but send leanness to our soul. Leanness to our soul. That means to the mind, the will, and the emotions. He can send leanness. That means it's not as robust. As Balaam was traveling to where Israel was, his donkey, the King James Version says ass. Okay? All right. I often want to keep that because it's so appropriate. His donkey suddenly stopped and refused to go forward. Verse 27 says, when the donkey, the King James Version says ass, when the donkey saw the angel of Adonai, now I want you to mark that word, angel of Adonai. In Hebrew, it says in Numbers 22 and 27, et malach Adonai. Et malach Adonai. Okay? My Hebrew learner is temporarily not here, but I have an older Hebrew learner here named Sean. And Sean, when you see the word et, what does that mean? Direct object follows. It's specific. Let me say that again. When you see the word et, which doesn't have an English translation, et malach means a specific messenger. Et malach Adonai, a specific messenger of Adonai. That's in the Hebrew. You don't see that because the angel of Adonai in the English doesn't have a capital T-H-E in it. If it did, we'd go like, oh, it's the angel, because that's what it says, the angel. But Balaam became furious and began beating his own donkey. The King James Version says ass. And I like that idea. I like that idea because that's what we do ourselves. Not necessarily with an animal, with a rod. The donkey, the King James Version says ass, spoke. Have you ever seen a donkey speak? If we were in the King James world, have you ever seen an ass speak? Oh, isn't that nice? I think that catches a certain meaning that I want to emphasize. But the donkey, the ass, spoke and gave him a serious message. Besides first asking, saying, why are you doing this? Haven't I served you all these years and I've been faithful to you and etc.? And he answers the donkey, which is, just imagine, speaking with your ass. That's correct. I am purposely doing that, but not for joke. Because there's a deeper meaning. And there's an appeal coming from the animal saying, why are you beating me? And he answers the questions. He said, yeah, you've been nice and faithful and all that. But there's nothing else said. Verse 31 says, then Adonai opened Balaam's eyes. Please look at what it says. And he saw the angel of Adonai. Again, the English translation do not put a capital T-H-E there. But in this case, Malach Adonai is not any messenger of Adonai. It's a specific messenger. Standing on the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So Balaam fell on his face. Numbers 22:31. When you realize that it's not the donkey speaking to you, when you realize it's not your ass speaking to you, that maybe there is a reason. Maybe the Lord will open your eyes to see that there is a great calamity ahead. I would like to ask, who is the specific messenger of Adonai? I'm not going to answer. I'm going to let you answer that to yourself. Now that leaves the possibility that it could have been a specific person, a specific angel, such as Michael, who was sent to the prophet Daniel, or Gabriel, who was sent to Zechariah, or Gabriel, who was sent to Miriam. It could be a specific angel. This is pretty important, but there's another messenger of Adonai that the scripture says, Hamalach, et malach Adonai. Okay? And that messenger of Adonai, you can allow yourself to say, could be Yeshua. The specific Malach Adonai, named Yeshua, appeared to our father Abraham in Genesis 18. And when he saw him, even though the text says he saw Malach Adonai, when he addressed Malach Adonai, et Malach Adonai, the specific one, he addressed them Adonai. That's where you find that word. Not the first time, but that's where it is. He called that specific messenger my Lord, which is what Adonai means. And the scripture goes on to say in the Hebrew, when referring to the specific messenger, uses the word Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay, if you read in the Hebrew, that tells you without a shadow of a doubt that he's speaking to deity. Let me say that again. If you look at the Hebrew and you see Malach Adonai being called Adonai, Adonai Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, okay, then you know for sure that he's speaking to deity. And deity speaks, and I don't want to go there because I'm not going to preach, right? But we've spoken on that before. So you are allowed to wonder because the scripture doesn't say. You're allowed to wonder, okay? Nevertheless, it could have been Michael or Gabriel or someone specific that the Father has, you know, like right-hand people, and for sure he's sending one of his messengers. But we are pre-Yeshua's incarnation. And he could have very well let my mind wander. What's going on with Balaam? I've spoken about this before. I spoke about this 29 May of 1921, last year. The message was called Get Rid of All Anger. What was going on? What was accumulated at the bottom of Balaam's anger, okay, is a battle between lust and the heart of Adonai. Let me say that again. What is going on in Balaam is a battle because his heart wants to get the money. His heart has been enticed by the lust of the eyes, the pride of being able to be the guy for the king of that area. Okay, so the top guy. This is the top. Got lots of money. And Balaam is not riding on a Mercedes. He's riding on a donkey. I selected for the scripture part of today, the scripture of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding on a donkey to enter Jerusalem. Which the King James Version says an ass. Okay? In that message from 29 May, I discussed that there was a relationship between anger and sexual immorality. Go back, read it. I discussed that there's a relationship between anger and lust. I discussed that there's a relationship between anger and greed. And there's a relationship between anger and jealousy. Well, how do you know that? Again, from that message, the primary Greek word in the New Covenant for anger is a word in Greek, orgy. O-R-G-E. When you put a Y on it, you get the English version, an orgy. The primary word in the New Covenant for anger is an orgy. Anger carries a very high price tag. That's why we're told not to let the sun go down on our wrath, on our anger. Why? Because it damages both the health of the person who is angry and it damages the one whose anger is directed to. It does two jobs. It damages who you're speaking to in anger, but it damages you. That's the part that most devil doesn't want you to know that. He just wants you to give it to somebody else, let them deal with it, okay? And it's not fun. Let me tell you what, it's not fun. But you think that because you did that, you're going to get relief. Oh, what a relief it is. No Alka-Seltzer for you. No Pronto for you. Because what happens is that you will experience, number one, there will be a damage in relationships. The relationship with that person will be damaged. You could actually experience financial loss. Losing moolah. Why, boy, could I preach on that? Some people come in and say, well, I'm having trouble, like marriages. We don't have any money. And one of the questions that I said last week that I asked the husband is, are you involved in any kind of sexual immorality? But that's not all there is. Is that all there is? If that all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is, no, it's not. Because it's also tied to money. And maybe the reason you're losing money is because you're angry. And hangry doesn't exempt you, okay? Hangry is when, like, some of you are starting to get there. If I don't hurry up, you're going to be hangry. Right? This results in an unwise judgment. So it's a mistake to be angry. Because you can be angry and not sin. So Yeshua was angry with the money changers, which is the next verse after what we read today. But he didn't sin. The Bible says you can be angry and sin not. The problem is, I have yet to experience that. My entire life, I have yet to experience that. If I allow myself to get angry, I am not going to not sin. I'm going to sin with my mouth, with my tongue. I'm going to issue poison and radiation and tasing. Don't tease me, bro. I mean, it's all coming from the mouth. Nevertheless, this is happening to Balaam. Nevertheless, and he finds that the angel of the Lord is there, so he can't go forward. Because the angel of the Lord is saying, okay, come on, make my day, kind of thing. He ends up not having that impediment, which you wonder, why did the angel of Adonai stand there? I can't help myself, okay? Sugar pie, honey bunch. You know I love you. I can't help myself. Right? I can't help myself because sometimes we are dead set on something. And all of a sudden there is a delay. Ooh, they're working on the road. And you start jumping up and down inside and looking at your watch. And you start sending text messages and all those things. And you can't turn to get on the interstate. Okay, and then you get on the interstate, and it's backed up north of Ocala, which means that you can go west or east, and you ain't going to find nothing. Unless you find 441 if you go east, or you find 41 if you go west. Then you can continue at the pace of a snail. Okay, so when that happens, we get all excited. We get very And just maybe that delay is there for you. Maybe that delay is for you not to get to a certain place where there would be an accident involving you. Maybe that delay is for being able to allow the Almighty to bring a tremendous blessing. And we should give thanks in all things, right? Including the interstate being full. And you don't get back. That happened to us coming back from Meuhad conference. It took us from Atlanta, which normally takes 5 hours. It took us 8.5 hours. We visited 441. We went through Lake City. We went through all kinds of Georgia towns because the interstate was messed up. We got home, and actually we drove over the bridge that the next day the water took off because it was after a hurricane. That's right. When I drove by that over that river, the water was already hitting the sides of the bridge. And you go like, and you try to go as fast as you can. Only to get into North Lake City and experience the culture. Okay? I might as well just go find 100. And I might as well just go find 231 and Lake Butler and go that way because I might as well. This going, the interstate is for the birds. So we didn't, and it was 8.5 hours later. And you tend to go like, well, we could have been here 3 hours ago. You know, and all that kind of thing. Okay, you could have been there, try to be there 3 hours earlier. Maybe you'd be in the hospital right now. Or maybe you'd be dead right now. Hello. Or maybe someone else would be dead because of something you did. Or maybe the car would be broken. And now you have to pay mucho dinero to get the car fixed. And all kinds of things. And we don't ever understand that maybe Adonai. Look at the principle. Adonai may actually slow it down. I wanted you to hear that and see that. Nevertheless, Balaam goes, and he understands that he can't say anything that Adonai didn't let him see. So he even told Balak the truth. Look, I cannot say anything he doesn't let me say. Only what he can say, that's what I can speak. Okay? So nevertheless, Balaam goes to where Israel is dwelling in the wilderness. I want you to know that there was a blinking yellow light and a siren. And there was all kinds of a cavalcade so that the Israelis down there, all several million of them, were actually going like, I wonder what that's up there. I venture to say there's probably not a single person that knows what's going on. I venture to say that only Moses may have known. Or maybe when he wrote it down, he was told. Hello. And that Balaam is up there with his donkey. Okay, I want to say what I wanted to say. Balaam is up there with his ass. Okay? Not a big delegation. No, he's there. There may be some witnesses behind, but they're not being seen by the Israelites. The Israelites have no idea what's going on. Let me start reading in Numbers 24, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, when Balaam realized that it was pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel. Mark that phrase. Please mark that phrase. It is pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel. Let me say that again. It is written right here that it is pleasing to Adonai to bless Israel. Balaam did not resort to sorceries like he had at other times. So he was a mixer. He's a mixer guy. He used holy things with unholy things mixed together. Because there is no room for sorceries if you are in Adonai. That's an abomination. It's written in other places, okay? But I'm reading the scripture, but turn his face toward the wilderness. Facing the wilderness. So he's looking at the desert. This is not Miami Beach. This is not Cancun. All right, etc. This is the wilderness. And they're encamped in the wilderness. Verse 2, lifting up his eyes, Balaam saw Israel dwelling by tribes. He sees all of the encampment of Israel. By the way, how do you know that they're dwelling by tribes? Well, Numbers 1, ask Amelise to teach that sometime again. Because Amelise did a teaching some years ago where she took Numbers 1 through 4 and actually drew a map and showed where each of the tribes were set. If you look at the banner of each tribe, they have a banner. The ones that are set in the north, south, east, and west have the banner with the figure that are spoken of in the book of Revelation that were also seen by Ezekiel and were also seen by Isaiah. Now, you can get it or not get it what I'm saying. But to the east is the tribe of Judah with the emblem of the tribe of Judah, which is a lion. And there's somebody to the west, there's somebody to the north, and there's somebody to the south. And the banner, the ensign, the flag for them, for that tribe, is the face of one of the figures that are around the altar that John the Revelator saw, which are the same ones that Ezekiel saw, which are the same ones that Isaiah saw. But again, I'm not trying to preach. So that's how they know. They know. I mean, it's not like, okay, random, who's where? No, no, they know where Judah is. And in the middle is what? The middle are the Levites bearing the Ark of Adonai, the Mishkan, etc. And the other 12 tribes are around it, arranged 3 to each area. Amelise taught that. Ask Amelise to teach it again. Then Balaam uttered his oracle. What does that mean? He spoke the word that he came and said, this is the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, and the oracle of a strong man whose eyes have been opened. So he's not, doesn't consider himself a worm, this prophet. Verse 4, the oracle of one hearing God's speech. Okay? So, the one hearing God's speech and seeing El Shaddai's vision. For those of you that have the gift of prophecy, if Adonai shows you a vision that you know for sure is Adonai, and he gives you the speech, you're going to deliver that. Right, Sean? Right. It came from him directly. No ifs, and buts. This is really important. One who's fallen down, that's Balaam, yet with open eyes. Verse 5. Ma tovu ohaleha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, tabernacles, Israel. That's the beginning of the blessing. Now, I'm not going too far from here. Notice the following details that the Holy Spirit highlighted for me. Number one, it is pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel. Put that in there. It is pleasing. Listen, don't get upset if the Messianic congregation is always blessing Israel and all those things. Don't get upset. Well, what about us? let me just tell you that it is pleasing. It is written right here. It is pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel. So let's do something that blesses Adonai, that makes him excited. Secondly, it says here, lifting up his eyes, Balaam saw Israel dwelling by tribes. And the Ruach Elohim came over him. Who came over him? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In Hebrew, there is no if and buts. Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of Adonai, the Holy Spirit came upon him. So he's uttering based on the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Number three, Balaam says this is the oracle of one hearing God's speech and one seeing Eshaddai's vision, not his own vision. Not his own vision. It's not my words and it's not my vision. It's Adonai's, El Shaddai, the breasted one's vision. We translate that as the Almighty. El Shaddai, the Almighty. The first line of the actual blessing is, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, and your dwellings, O Israel. In other words, our dwelling places can be lovely. Wait a minute. How beautiful is a campsite in the middle of nowhere? No greenness, no pool, no this for the kids. You're just in the middle of nowhere, USA, or nowhere, in this case, nowhere, Sinai, okay, nowhere, Arabia, in the desert. The largest desert in the world is in Arabia. It's called the Sahara. So how? What do you mean? If you're looking at this, you're going like, I just not seeing anything all that lovely. Especially you ladies would go, no color there. They don't have no flowers. They don't have a fountain like in Miami. You get into North Miami Beach and there's the fountain blue, etc. Okay? But let me just say again, Israel's places are lovely. We have now joined Israel, haven't we? Therefore, our places are lovely to Adonai. Get that inside, because that's part of the message for today. Your dwelling place can be lovely to Adonai. It doesn't have to be lovely to all the lovely ladies around here. It doesn't have to pass the muster of the ones that organize and make beautiful. It can actually be a bachelor's pad. I don't imagine that you have pink roses all around your house there, David. I mean, I could be wrong, okay? That has happened. But I'm just not imagining that there is a spray things going, spraying smelly things. And, you know, pink flowers everywhere. And then you have all these colored things that when we come to visit you, that there's a red carpet and everything. I mean, it's just like, don't imagine that. Especially knowing that you raise chickens. Is that correct? You still raise chickens and other kinds of things and plant other kinds. Now, he's a chef. This guy is a real chef, a real honest-to-goodness chef. He chefs for one of the sororities, which employs chefs to cook for their girls. Okay? Is that correct? You still work? Okay? My neighbor worked for one of the sororities as well. And he back in the day, was a number one kind of chef. So, I actually would like to get lost in his house and let him cook for me. I mean, I think that I would like to see what kind of leftovers he's got in his refrigerator. But more than that, I could just show up in a minute and say, let me cook up something for you. And I can just go, oh, Emeril is going to cook for me. You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? And do you imagine that he can make some awesome stuff with kosher stuff? He's forced to not use kosher necessarily in the sororities. But for his own household, it's going to be kosher. And it's going to be fresh and all that. Would you like to do that? Then find out where he lives. And drop in sometime. By the way, if you're a lady and you drop in, you could actually get teaching on how to shoot. Bang, bang. Because he's a master bang, bang guy. Okay? He knows all about weapons. Like my friend back there who used to work for the sheriff's department. So he doesn't just carry and just any old weapon. Because he was with the sheriff's department. David was in the military. David doesn't carry any old weapon either. And so there are people here that are masters at their trade. And David is mastering a number of things that you don't know about because he's quiet. And he doesn't make a rah-rah. However, now, if they come to your house and you decide that you don't want him, send them to Sean's house. Because you guys are not so far from each other. Or send them to John's house, not so far from each other. And if you're really desperate, send them to Candace's house, which is in the boonies up in another county, okay, etc. And you could send them to my house, but I don't know if you'll find anybody there. The cat. And also warn me, because then I would have to put shorts on, because I've been just wearing my underwear all week. Yeah, man. I'm just talking to the Lord. I don't need to. I want it to be cool. Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm not very far from where I'm going. Was Israel aware that Balaam was making this blessing? Or was Israel aware that he was there to actually originally, his intention was to curse so he could get rich? Does Israel know this? Anybody aware of this? Why did Adonai intervene? Why did he not allow Balaam to curse Israel, but said, oh no, all you can do is bless them? Let me hear that again. Oh no. All you can do is bless Israel. Oh, that was only for Numbers 24. Are we supposed to bless Israel now? Do you realize, messianic person, that when you bless Israel, you are blessing your homeland. You are blessing your family. You are blessing the tree that you're grafted into. You're not just blessing randomly out there. Please get that in your mind when you bless Israel. You're blessing yourself because you're part of Israel. How about that? On the surface, this seems contradictory to the scripture that says, like a fluttering sparrow or a flying swallow, so an undeserved curse, a costless curse, the King James Version says, does not land. So we want to go there and say, well, that cursing was not going to take place. Well, then the blessing doesn't either. Can I say that again? Are you getting upset with me? I mean, it's so quiet around here. Either it matters or it doesn't matter. It mattered enough to Adonai that he sends his own malach, a very special delegation with a big sword, which is the word of God, to tell Balaam, you're not going to go there and curse Israel. All you're allowed to speak through your mouth is blessing. That's all Adonai wants for you and me. Not here, necessarily, although that's okay. How about in your own dwelling place? How about in your own home? How lovely are your dwelling places, O Israel? Yours. See, life is very much like the old TV show, Let's Make a Deal. Any of you remember that show? Let's Make a Deal. There were three doors. Okay? They're called the doors of opportunity. And they present yourselves to you and me. And you have to choose which door. You have to choose which door. You can't pick all three. You have to pick one. Once you choose, you're presented with the consequences of those choices. That's what this show was about. And he would be sitting in front of the TV many years ago going, oh, it's number two, number two. Number two is where the cruise is. Number two is where the car is. Number three is where a trip to Miami Beach is. The consequences of these choices are going to be binary. You're either going to choose life, the blessing, or you're going to choose death, the curse. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'll talk about it when I get there. In the TV show, people waited, and people at home did too, anxiously to see the results. Let me tell you something. There are always results. There are always consequences to our choices. Can I say that again? There are always consequences to our choices. So maybe we need to retitle this, that's happening here. A better title for this episode in Scripture is, while Israel lived life unaware, not even conscious of their surroundings, the evil one planned their cursing. While you live in your surroundings, just living life, doing the laundry, in Mary Grace's case, there's been a number of years of diapers and more coming. Okay? She's blessed. Some of us go like, I don't know about that. How many is too many? How many is enough? Well, whatever Adonai says is enough. That's the way they are. I know them from way back when. In the next chapter, after 24, Numbers 25, the first few verses are part of Balak. Let me read you a little bit about that. In Numbers 25:1, Scripture begins to tell us that while Israel was at Chittim, oh boy, again, I could spend time telling you about that Hebrew word, they played the harlot with Moabite women and idols. They played the harlot. What do you mean with they were having orgies and such? Because after all, Balaam was an angry man, and in the New Testament would say he's an orgyful man. Listen carefully what I'm saying. As this was going on, Adonai was on the scene. But he was not just on the scene, he was also behind the scenes, if you please, battling the enemy to make it possible for Israel to be able to inherit the blessing. Adonai sent that angel because he himself wanted you to get the blessing. He wanted you to inherit the blessing and not get the curse. He was there to stop the curse. Oh, that's in his DNA, stopping the curse. In addition, there were human foes that were involved as well. It's not just Satan, but a lot of other people. You know, like all this delegation and Balak and king and money and all that kind of stuff. Not just Satan, because we just want to that Satan. Well, you know, sometimes Satan and his cohort, Satan and some people who had given their heart to Satan, as we seem to be battling in our country now, right now. While Israel was busy living their daily life, Adonai was astounding the world with his supernatural power, but Israel didn't know it. They had to read it later when they read the Torah. Adonai has the power to turn curses into blessings. Can I say that again? Adonai has the power to turn curses into blessings. Verse 9 is the last words that Balaam spoke over Israel. You want to hear them? He says, Israel crouches like a lion or a lioness. A lion? Not a man, not an ox, not an eagle. Who's the emblem of a lion? The tribe is the tribe of Judah. And the lion of Judah is the lion. Israel crouches like a lion because they are descendants of Yeshua, the great lion. Who would rouse him? Meaning, who's going to go mess with the lion? Here's how it ends. He who blesses you will be blessed, and he who curses you will be cursed. Well, that's not new. Right? That's in Genesis 12:3, right? Look, here it is, being repeated again. By the direction of the Holy Spirit, Balaam said he's speaking what the Holy Spirit gave him to utter, and the vision that he saw for El Shaddai. And the vision is, bless Israel. You need to bless Israel, because you bless yourself. What do we do most of the time? I'm so blank. I'm not even going to say those kind of words anymore. I am so blank. I am so out of it. I am so this. I am so that. I am so the other. Those kind of words are not the words that Adonai wants for you. The words that Adonai wants for you is Matovu, Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Israel. The words for you is, how lovely are your dwelling places. This place, this is a dump right now. All the kids are having a mess. I'm doing laundry. I'm trying to get laundry done. And my husband is working, so he's not even here to help. And the cats certainly isn't doing nothing. Except pooping. The chickens aren't doing nothing. Scripture tells us that between Numbers 24 and Numbers 25, Balaam figured out a way to collect his reward. So he couldn't get it by cursing Israel. So, which is the lust of the eyes and flesh. He couldn't get that from Balak, but he said, let me advise you, Balak, to entice the people of Israel into grave sin. I'm reading what it says. With prostitutes and idolatry. Since he could not curse Israel directly, he came up with a plan for Israel to bring the curse upon themselves. There is the principle. There is the principle. You need to eliminate words like lazy, words like no good, words like whatever those words are. Don't dare speak them to yourself. If you got to speak about the children of Israel, which you are, then go to Numbers 24 and say, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Israel. Speak how lovely are the dwelling places of the people of Israel, which includes my dwelling place. Okay? And don't be tempted to go and give Satan the right to come and curse you. Because see, you are not supposed to be cursed. Adonai did not want you cursed. He wants you exempt from the curse. But he is a gentleman and he lets you do your own selection. You can choose to say, I am so blank. And don't tell me you don't do it. Don't tell me that you don't do it. Don't you dare tell me you don't do it. Stop! If you ain't got nothing good to say, Matovu, Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. Just say what God said. Let your own words go to the location where you keep your donkey. The location where you feed your donkey. The location where you sit on your donkey. You like to use the King James Version. That's what I actually have in mind. Balak followed Balaam's advice. And the Bible says that Israel fell into sin in Numbers 25. Worshiping Baal of Peor, an idol, a Canaanite god, and committing fornication with Midianite women. You want to hear about that? Go to the book of Revelation, but I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching because the book of Revelation has a lot to say about Balaam and the doctrine of Balaam. What do you think happened to the Israelites? An ensuing plague, 24,000 of the children of Israel died. 24,000. This is way more people than any casualties if they had fought Moab, which is what they were trying to avoid. Moses, this is what he has to say about Balaam's work. This is Moses speaking now. It's in Deuteronomy 23. Because they hired against you Balaam, son of Beor, from Petor, of Aram Naharaim, to curse you. But Adonai your God refused to listen to Balaam. And Adonai your God turned the curse into a blessing because he loves you. You hear those words? He turned the curse out of Balaam's mouth and heart and everybody else and turn it into a blessing. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Israel. Okay? In the Psalms, we read the following. Psalm 106, verses 28 through 31. Then they yoked themselves to Baal of Peor and ate the sacrifice of dead things. So they provoked Adonai with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. But Phinehas, Pinchas in Hebrew, stood up and intervened, so the plague was stopped. And it was credited to Pinchas as righteousness, as next week's parashah, from generation to generation forever. I'm finishing. Listen carefully. Similarly, Yeshua, at the direction of the Father, Malach Adonai, at the direction of the Father, came to stop the curse. He turned our deserved cursing, our deserved consequences, into a blessing. And he said, I've come to give you, finish it for me, for goodness sakes, life. All right. You see, the enemy cannot bring about an undeserved curse. He can't. But a deserved curse is a consequence. It's a different matter altogether. He cannot bring unto you an undeserved one, but a deserved one. How do you mean a deserved one? Just call yourself, I'm just blank. I am so blank. I am so, you want to fill those things? I used to say them. I refuse to say them. We've been delivered from such. Don't use those words. Whatever you want to add. What did you say? Absolutely. Apply the blood. Take and do a Passover deal. Apply the blood on the lintels of your heart. And get that stuff out of there. Because it's going to bring cursing. The enemy of Adonai is continually observing you, and you don't even know it. Just like Balaam was observing them, and all those people were observing Israel while they're living their life. But you don't think that anything's going on where you're up to this way in chicken manure or whatever it is that you're dealing with. These curses are not imagined. Can I just say that again? Is this an exercise in baloney? These curses are not imagined. Why did Balak want to curse Israel? So that they would not prevail. You mean a curse can cause death? Hello, the book of Deuteronomy is full of that kind of statements. We're often not aware that such an evil and conniving conspiracy is actually taking place right under your nose, so to speak. And that the reason that you get this and you get that, and you just say, I'm so clumsy. That's the more benign word we can use. I rebuke that in the name of Yeshua. I am not clumsy. I'm going to do what she said. No more clumsy for me. It's covered by the blood. No more. I'm never going to say that. Many of you need to practice this. Don't say blank, blank, blankety, blank. I don't care if your mom taught you that. I don't care if your father taught you that. I don't care if your brother taught you that. I don't care if the neighbor said that. I don't even care if your donkey. So let me say it like I really want to say it. I don't care if your ass says that. Don't. Zero. Zilcho. We are responsible for every word, even every idle word that comes out of our mouth. You have nothing to fear when it comes to curses because Adonai's protective hand is over you. No weapon curse raised against you shall prosper. Was that spoken to whom? Israel. And we're part of Israel. No ill will touch you in the palm of his protective hand. But here's the deal. As long as you're in his hands, ain't nothing going to happen. But what if you get out of his hands? What if you get out of his presence? What if you decide, well, I don't feel like it today? Fear not, for he's always with you. Well, he is. Are you always with him? He's always with you, but you could be over there. You could be some other room. You can be totally not in his presence. When you're in his presence, that's the stuff that's going on. None of this other stuff. There's no room there to be, well, I am so blessed. Want to say something? Say, I am blessed because Yeshua blessed me because Adonai sent him to save me. I am blessed. Trust him completely and stay in his dwelling places. My big word here, do not, say it after me, do not. Give the enemy any permission or reason to curse you. Do not give the enemy any permission or any reason to curse you. Psalm 84, verse 1 through 5 says, and I'll finish with this. For the music director upon the Gittite lyre, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely are your tabernacles, Adonai Tzvaot. My soul even faints for the courts of Adonai. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young near your altars, Adonai Tzvaot, my king. You are my king and my God. Blessed are they who dwell in your house. They are always praising you. If you dwell in the house of Adonai, you won't be blank, blankety, blank yourself. You will be praising him. I want to finish with a song. I'm sorry, I'm not a great singer, but music is in my heart. Here's that song. How lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. You are my King and my God. How lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh. Look, my heart and my flesh. Those are like the things that John said were the problem in the world. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. But instead, my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God, because you are my King and my God. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. You are my King and my God. You realize that Psalm 84 in the Hebrew would be Matovu, Ohaleha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. Our talks.